Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
It's yet another exciting new episode of the Real Nerds Podcast, where every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week, we saw Snow White. Stay tuned. Well, we'll recommend the film or not, play the trailer, then spoil the movie. We'll also talk about the movie news of the week and stuff we've been watching throughout the week. And Brad, you know, I'm a little annoyed. Corinne's doing this movie madness thing she always does. And it appears Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is going to be Army of Darkness, which is a fucking joke.
Oh, you're
is using
it?
Your burner accounts on X, aren't you?
I don't have any X accounts. I deleted that shit. So
I know, but that's the perfect excuse you have for fucking me over.
I can't even see what's going on. Like, you used to be able to, even if you didn't have Twitter, you could go, like, look at what's going on. And now I can't even do that. So, yeah, that's all your thing.
Looks like yours is going to move on. Your favorite movie against mine.
How many people voted for it?
I think there was 10 total. And
for like five each?
I think he won 60 to 40.
So 6 people for me, 4 for you?
Yep.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think you just have to suck it up and
fuck.
And think of a new theme for next year where Army of Darkness can win in a landslide.
Yeah. Well, I was already a little perturbed with this because she wouldn't let me put the movies in there I wanted to. Because she said, you can't use the movies I've used before. I don't know why that's a rule, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you should just pitch next year that it's a Sam Raimi horror movies.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll go for that.
That'll beat Ninja Turtles, just objectively. Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, you can go to our Twitter feed, and every day there'll be a new movie to vote for. Today I put up, it's Zach's favorite classic comedy, To Be or Not to Be, against mine, The Awful Truth. So go there and vote for the next 22 hours.
why is she not posting polls on Facebook where other people can see them?
So you can't put polls on Facebook anymore unless you do a group.
You can do a story.
Oh, no. I do what she tells me to do.
Well, tell her to start doing stories on Facebook so that she wants to get more participation.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that for the next one. We'll see.
I mean, I try not to watch stories because they're a pain in the ass format, but they do include polls, so.
Oh, see, I don't, sometimes I don't think I use social media and or the internet to its full advantage.
Nor should
you. I'm just usually on, you know, movie websites or video game stuff or comic book stuff, or, you know, watch Saturday Night Live clips. And Brad, evidently there's porn on the internet.
Dude, what?
Yes.
Stop. We'll finish this tomorrow.
But people tell me about all these websites and things like that, and I have no idea what they're talking about.
Dude, we just came of age in that middle time between, you know, the analog and the digital, and we're just a lost generation, man.
I guess.
But yeah, I'm not gonna learn any of this new shit. Like, I think 15 years has been a good test ground for the fact that this has not gone well. It's not improved society, this social media thing.
Yep.
Oh, I remember back in 2004 when I didn't know about social media, and then someone said, like, hey, you should get a MySpace account. And it was all downhill from there.
You know, MySpace is still a thing.
It is a website that exists, yes.
Yeah.
I can't access it.
No, I mean, I just remember just clicking on it one day. But I remember with MySpace, I was always, what should I have in the background? And I thought I had the coolest background when it was a Spider-Man 2 poster. And I was, yeah, now my top friends know what my favorite movie is.
Yeah, like I did love MySpace for the customization. Like, yep. It was fun to, like, yeah, add your top movies or change, like, the look of it or add songs. And, yeah, everyone gravitated toward Facebook for some reason, where it was just a white and blue wall. I don't know.
Yeah, my guess is that the interface on Facebook is more friendly.
And then it filled up with bullshit article sharing, and then that was the end of it.
I know. I try really hard to, like, fuck with the algorithm. But I noticed on my feed about 80% of it is suggested pages.
Yeah. Suggested products or suggested pages. Yes. But, like, hey, feed us more connections so we can, like, take our stats to our $1 billion shareholders and get more money. Get fucked. I'm not creating for you assholes.
Yep. Yeah, I grow all my stuff organically now. I don't do the pay $10 to get more reach. Because when James and I did that one time, I went and I looked at the likes that we were getting. They're all like bots. They're not even real.
It's crap. Yeah, we bought some advertising for Open Screen Night. Didn't do shit.
Yep. Well, you're not a Nazi and a billionaire, so I guess, you know, they just don't care about you.
Yeah, I just can't relate.
Yeah. This week, Brad, we saw Snow White. Do you recommend Snow White?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Some of it's kind of goofy and corny. Like, the new songs stand out in direct opposition to the old ones. They do update the old ones pretty well for, like, modern sonic sensibilities, I guess. A lot of, like, the art direction is pretty good. And some of the story, like, changes are great. But yeah, I don't know. There's just, like, some stuff that just felt, like, cringy and dopey. What'd you think?
I agree. I thought this movie was great. And one of our mantras of our podcast is we go into every movie expecting it to be good. And when I was seeing the trailers and the stills from Snow White, it was cringy to me. And I go, man, I don't know how they're going to pull this off. The CGI little people, I'm just like, I don't know. And but then you watch the movie and, yeah, the art direction, because they made it look like a fairy tale, like a book. It was really impressive. I was shocked how much I love this movie. And that's why I go to the movies, is for every once in a while, a movie like this comes along and reminds me of the power of movies. Here's the trailer for Snow White. Snow White, you know the story. This one follows it pretty closely. It does take some liberties with, maybe liberties is the right word. I guess they've made it more modern in a way that makes sense to me. You know, this uproar, because we have to talk about it, because it's all people were talking about, you know, Rachel Ziegler being, you know, a Latina. And I know, dude, I know. You're still there. You didn't die, did you?
Sorry, I blacked out. What happened?
Okay. So this fake character
that never existed, got it.
That never existed, was cast not by the color of her skin, but by the ability of the actor portraying Snow White, which, by the way, if assholes actually saw this movie, she is fucking fantastic in this movie.
Oh, can she sing?
Yeah.
Is that why she was hired? She can sing?
Yeah. Well, she can sing, but also she is, I think she's fantastic in the movie. I was already a fan of hers from West Side Story. Another one people really didn't see is that they should see. But she, that girl is talented, man. I'm telling you. Because the big change to the story is she decides to take on the queen herself. And instead of, you know, dropping a rock on her, she decides to use the goodwill that she's earned with the people, spoilers, in her village to basically not go to war and use common sense on why the evil queen should not be in charge. And there is something to be said for that. You know, and there is no prince in it. The love interest is more of a Robin Hood guy. It follows the rest of the plot pretty closely. I mean, it gives you more about her parents dying and why her stepmom is, you know, the queen, which, by the way, too, I thought the costumes in this film were incredible. Gal Gadot's evil queen really stood out. They used purples and greens and blues, and it was awesome. Mm-hmm. Seven Dwarfs, I was like, man, the CGI, I don't know. But as you get into the movie, I don't know if you felt this way, Brad. As I got into the movie, I kind of got lost in it, and they didn't bother me as much.
Yeah, I kept early on, I was like, oh, I don't know how this is gonna go. But by the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that I accept this. Like, there's a little uncanny valleyness to it, but in some parts, they're like, holy, that looks like a dude's face.
Yeah.
But I kept my mind kept wanting to like think of them as, you know, like a modern animated movie would probably put like famous people in each of those roles.
Yeah,
and I was like, none of these people are people I recognize, but they definitely motion captured somebody.
Yeah.
So yeah, like my brain just kept wanting to go like, oh, that should be like some current person that's like really like TikTok famous or something. But yeah,
it's, but in a way, it's cool that they didn't, because
yeah, I like that they didn't. Yeah,
you know, but they did keep their characteristics from the 37 film. I mean, you could pick them up immediately. There's one point where, and this is what I'm talking about, dude. Like, this movie pulled on my heartstrings, because there's a part where Snow White is discovered by the dwarves, and she's in their home, and they get in a fight, and they kind of make fun of Dopey. And he goes outside, and this is the stuff I love that you do with these films, and this is why I think Cinderella was so successful too, the live action one. She goes outside, Snow White, and she goes to talk to Dopey, and she says, it's not that you can't speak, it's just you're afraid of what they're going to say when you do. And the performance that they got out of the animated CGI thing was incredible. And I was like, oh man, that actually like touched me. And it was really impressive. When the sunlight would hit Dopey, you could see like little whiskers and peach fuzz on his face. And I mean, it was impressive when you watched it.
Yeah, the really only like cringy thing for me was just like the new songs. Like every time it broke out into something that they like clearly added to the film musically was just like it was like such a modern, like modern musicals. Like it's like it was like all the rejected songs from Wicked. It felt like repurposed because like they just sounded like in direct opposition to like the fun, cute like 1930s. What are the brothers' names?
That would be Sleepy Dopey.
No. The musical brothers from Disney.
Oh, Shermans.
The Sherman Brothers. Yeah, like the Sherman Brothers songs are like just not the same. And, like, and most of the time I was like, everything Lin-Manuel Miranda sounds the same now. And then the movie credits showed up. I was like, oh, he didn't touch this. Sorry. But they all felt like everyone else was like trying to mimic that style.
Yeah.
And, like, no, just make them a lot like the Sherman Brothers songs, like in spirit, but the updates of the Sherman Brothers songs were great. Like the Hi Ho was so epic.
Oh yeah, and even Whistle While You Work. I was like, man, this like how Rachel Ziegler too. Man, she mimicked how Snow White danced in the cartoon so well, and everything was happy and. And you mentioned sonically, they update it, and it just, it really surprised me how much I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, like they even added like new lyrics and stuff. Like that flowed really well. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, in my theater, I saw opening day, so it was pretty packed. And at the end, when Snow White is asking for help and Dopey speaks, my theater gasped like audibly. So it was kind of a cool little moment in there too. And then you find out that he's the narrator of the story is a sweet little touch to the film.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised, and I loved the little storybook kind of sets they built with the lighting, and you know, the cottage was the one that really stuck out to me. That felt like it was a storybook kind of style.
Yeah, I love them bringing back the storybook like opening, where the actual like, physical book opens and closes, and it has like that Technicolor look to it.
Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
They should keep doing that. Like imagine that for like a modern one, like Lion King or Mulan. That would have been great.
Oh, that would have been. And when you see this one, it just makes me bummed more that how Pinocchio turned out.
Oh, they did do that dirty, didn't they? Yeah.
They had talent, but you know, then they had that talking like seagull and stuff. Like, what the fuck is this?
The other thing I wish too was like, you know, the Hi Ho sequence was so epic, and they talk about the gems, and then the Evil Queen goes through a lot of trouble to explain, like, oh, these flowers, which repetitive, like a flower each time, how fragile they are, and like diamonds are forever. It's like, I wish there were like was like a subplot of like that connects the dwarves to her.
Yeah,
that isn't Snow White, because they harvest the gems that she's like hoarding.
Yeah,
so they don't really touch on that.
And there's a little more too. Obviously, the mirror void. Evil area.
Like I know they went for like the white mask classic interpretation, but I felt like in the modern age with CGI, like you could have just made like the pieces of the glass crack and like protrude like a mirror face. So
yeah.
I thought that would have been cooler if they did that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But all in all, a winning film.
Yeah, like definitely not as terrible as people online make it out to be.
Oh yeah, people that never seen it just hate it because.
And you know what? The original still exists. It didn't get deleted.
Yeah, and you know that's in my review on Letterboxd. I said it can't. It's obviously not going to. It's never going to live up to the original, and you have to go in understanding that. But you should also go in understanding that it's good, and people put a lot of work, and they did a great job with the film. So go in with an open mind is all I say.
Yeah. Also, I just remembered Jonathan's like merry band of thieves. I totally wanted it to be like Shaun of the Dead, where like, you know, Snow White has her dwarves, and then he has like
yes,
like identical, but like, yeah,
Yeah, where they pass each other people, on.
Yeah.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. That like, there's also like a sleepy human, a grumpy human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Are you listening, Disney? We got some great ideas. This is the big news story of the week.
It's real news.
The big one that popped up on my feed today, Brad, is they cast Linda Cardellini as Pamela Voorhees in Crystal Lake, the prequel, long gestating, often delayed prequel to Friday the 13th that's coming to Peacock.
Two things. I felt like that was old news because I feel like I've heard this months ago. So I guess they signed the deal.
Yes.
And then two, like, I'd be interesting to know, like, what the, like, a prequel would be. Cause, like, obviously you want to see Jason in the show, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why you go see Friday the 13th. So I'm like, what's going to happen at this camp that until Betsy Palmer shows up, that's like, cause if there's murders before she does, like, people would close the camp before Jason even starts his rampage, you know?
I pick up what you're putting down, and I agree. I mean, I'm interested. I don't know how you make a TV series out of before Jason shows up, but I mean, I guess if it shows, I don't know. They obviously have a plan, and A24 is producing it.
Yeah.
So like, it has potential to be cool.
Yeah, maybe it's the set in the 60s, and you like we just watch Jason at camp until like episode 9 when he gets, you know, drowned in the lake.
Yeah.
So it's like this kid getting bullied at camp for like 8 or 10 episodes.
Yeah. Again, I have no idea, but I'm interested because I like the, you know,
and Linda Cardellini's series. Complaining to management, caroning out. Yeah.
I love the series and it's been dormant for too long. So
yeah. Give us something.
Yeah. I mean, 16 years is when the last movie came out. Lousy. And that's the news of the week.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I've been making movies.
I know. You're all like important and everything. We watch film throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Since we didn't do a weekly episode for it, I watched Novocaine.
Oh, nice.
And that's fun. Nothing like big, but it's just, I think if you're looking for a movie with like a lot of creative kills or, torturing human beings, then yeah, this is a good one.
All right. I'm on board. I'm on board.
Jack Quaid is, this, bank assistant manager. Who cannot feel pain. He has a specific condition that I can't recall the actual name of. It might be made up. I don't know. But in the terms of this movie, he can't feel pain. And then he meets this, bank teller he has a crush on. They hit it off. And then she gets abducted by some bank robbers. And then he's like so enamored with her that he decides to go on, a rampage trying to track them down and get her back. And, I think the only like thing that rubs me wrong is so he can't feel pain, but he can feel pleasure. So like when he eats pie or bangs her, he feels that, but he can't feel pain stuff. So I'm like, like they make a big deal about, he can't eat. He can only eat like milkshakes or ground up food because he's worried he'll bite his own tongue off because he can't feel his tongue. But I'm like, okay, he can feel pleasurable things, but he can't feel his own tongue if he's like I don't know like why. You think it's just nerve endings would be screwed up.
Yeah,
but yeah, so there's just like some kind of like rules things that throughout that I'm just like, okay, I'm not quite sure, but let's keep going. So yeah, he gets the shit beat out of him, and then towards the end he gets like really fucked up, and his beating the bad guy part isn't quite as like awesome as it should be. So, and it also looked confusing the way they shot it. So, took me a minute to like realize what it even happened. And then, Peter Parker's bestie's in it. and he's
fun
as a internet nerd who has to come help save the day occasionally, and it's a fun time. And let's see, the last thing I saw was a very old movie called Black Narcissus.
Never heard of it.
If you've ever seen it, like listed on the Criterion Collection, it's a movie from 1947 about these nuns who go to some Asian country to do missionary shit and escape their troubled pasts. And it's shot like beautifully. Like, it's a beautiful movie, especially one that's like made to look like it's in Asia. But it's actually on a soundstage the whole time. A lot of like matte paintings. But yeah, you just, as the story goes on, you just like, these women go crazy, and there's
women be crazy.
There's this one American dude who lives there, and the funniest part is like he's like the tallest guy in the world, and he wears like short shorts, and he's like bare chested with like, you know, a linen shirt most of the time, but he gets around by like riding the tiniest horse, and there's a dude who leads the horse for him. I'm just like, dude, you have like the longest legs. Walk your own ass around. Like, stop crushing this poor horse's spine. A bunch of like the nuns there have a crush on him, so they start fighting over him a little bit, and then like also like, oh, but we're also, you know, religious, we can't do that. And then you find out that there's like this flower that's blowing in the wind called the Black Narcissus, and it's like a hallucinogen that like makes people go nuts. And so like the different nuns kind of like take out that in different ways. Like one accidentally kills a kid from the village on accident. She just like gets the dosage wrong or something, or injects him with the wrong thing. And then like another one starts planting flowers instead of food. They'll get in trouble. And as the story goes on, you learn like why they became nuns. Mostly through like people they love dying or something. But my big takeaway was like, stop abusing that little horse. Stop treating
these most important takeaway anybody can have in a movie.
Stop treating these third world people like slaves for you. What'd you watch?
Just a couple of things. Let me pull up my letterbox because I forget shit because I'm old. I watched a film called Trick or Treat, which it's not the one from 2009. There was one that came out in 1986 called Trick or Treat.
That's confusing.
Yeah. And in it, it's kind of fun. It's about this kid who loves heavy metal, and his favorite heavy metal singer dies in a fire, and he goes
That's metal.
And sees, total metal, bro. And he goes and sees a local DJ who knows him, who happens to be played by Gene Simmons.
Oh. And,
yeah, and he has a demo vinyl of his last recording. And I forget the name of it, but it's like Worship My Devil Dick or something. And that's a really old Michael Ian Black joke. He goes home and he plays it backwards. Dude, do not play. Didn't he learn anything? You don't play records backwards.
You do if you're metal.
So when he plays it backwards, it actually unleashes a demon. But this demon, spoiler alert, is the lead singer. Bro, he's now a demon, and he kills people with electricity and makes them like blow up, which would be way cooler if it's bloody and gory, but they just blow up to like a puff of smoke.
It's not like the monkey.
Yeah, no, not like the monkey. But the heavy metal music was pretty cool, and it had like a 1980s charm to it. I had never heard of the movie, but I kept on hearing that it was kind of a cult classic. I don't know if I'd stretch it that far, but it was still a fun time. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching it. And it takes a long time to build up to when that lead singer guy comes back. And when he does, it's kind of like a Carrie homage, because he shows up at the Halloween dance at the high school and just starts, you know, zapping people with his electricity.
That's kind of a waste of the title Trick or Treat.
Like, I know.
It's even like going to door to door and getting candy or nothing.
I know. I agree. But he does have this cool power where he can reach through TVs. So there's this really funny part where this one woman is talking about how on TV, how bad heavy metal is. So he reaches through the TV and pulls her out and turns her into dust. And then the nerdy kid is vacuuming up this old lady who's dust before his parents get home. It's not a great movie, but it's fun. It'll probably be one I'll watch a couple more times. There's like two or three commentaries on it that I'd be interested to hear about the making of it. And the last thing I watched is Shout Factory. It was probably last year, has a going out of print sale, which they have one going on right now, but it's not that great. But the one they had last year had a bunch of Hammer horror films on it. And so I bought like four or five of them. And one that I hadn't watched yet is called The Horror of Frankenstein, which is a remake of their Frankenstein film that they put out in 57 or 58. I don't remember, which is really good, called The Curse of Frankenstein. This one follows a really kind of asshole Dr. Frankenstein, where he's this pompous prick who's in college, and he wants to experiment on obviously dead things to make him be reanimated. He purposely has his dad killed so he can take over and become Baron Frankenstein. And he's just an asshole. He's mean to the women. He's mean to his classmates. He's just a piece of shit. And it takes a really long time to get to the monster. And when you do, I was expecting the monster to unleash, like, you know, like carnage. And he only kills like three people. And he just walks, and then he walks back home. And he dies in a really anticlimactic way. And the last shot of the movie is Dr. Frankenstein looking into this vat of acid, and he raises an eyebrow. And you go, wow, that's it.
Cool.
Cool. I mean, the only cool part is David Prowse is Frankenstein, which you might know him from Darth Vader. Yeah, I mean, it's not horrible, and there's some like pretty cheeky, funny stuff in it. Because they kind of made it as a dark comedy. But, you know, I don't know. If they're going to have that much buildup for a monster and he shows up and he just goes, "Murr," and he kills two people, just not, you know, it doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
And he went on this rampage, and then he went into this house with this little girl, and all he did was scare her. I'm like, dude, fucking kill the little girl. What is this? Now, I'm not advocating for killing children, but in a horror movie, you know, I want something to happen.
Something with teeth.
Yeah, not just puts out. Way to go, monster, or Frank, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah, you don't go see a Frankenstein movie for the doctor. You go see it for the monster.
Exactly. Fuck Baron Frankenstein. Yeah, so that's... the special features are really cool, though. They have... the lead actress in it is really funny. She talks about how she got into acting, and she calls the movie a piece of shit. So it's kind of fun. And she says, "I was so bad in that movie." And so it's kind of fun to watch. That's what I watched this week. Next week, I don't even know what we're watching.
Oh, come on, Ryan. You have a good job.
I know. Such a piece of shit. I think it's the Jason Statham movie.
Ton of stuff out. Yeah. Yeah. Ton of stuff out right now.
Man and Death of a Unicorn are both out, which I want to see both.
Well, don't forget, it's hard for you to get to the theater, so pick one.
No, I'm going to get there.
Ah.
It's happening.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
We'll pick one of them, be our film of the week. Brad, which one would you rather it be, A Working Man or Death of a Unicorn?
I'm not super sad about it either. Probably, I guess, Death of Unicorn. I mean, Working Man's just Beekeeper too.
I'm a working man now, though. And you come on my job site and you cause problems. Mate, you got one problem and he's standing in front of you.
I don't know. I'm guessing that's part of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll just figure out what we're able to see.
Yep.
One of those two.
Yeah.
Or both. We'll see.
Yep. So until next time, we'll see you at the movie.
A real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot at a real nerd. We'll give it all we got. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!